Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127games.com.
Hello, and welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 103, 25-hour Gamathon for Children's Hospital. I want to start today's episode by apologizing to all of you. I'm a little phlegmy kind of today. It's that time of year when allergies and all that sort of stuff runs rampant. And so you add that with my asthma, and even though I do fancy magical things behind the scenes after I do a recording, you know, stuff to make myself sound a little bit better for you, even with that, you might get that sort of throatiness kind of going on when you hear it, and I just want to apologize in advance to you for all of that. So this episode is really special, something close to my heart. It's talking about the Extra Life Gamerthon. Last time that I had done this was way back in 2012, had done the Extra Life Gamerthon, and they do that once a year. I was really excited to be able to participate then. The head honcho over at Troll in the Corner, Ben Gerber, he got involved with it in 2012, and I was like, this sounds really cool, Ben. Maybe I'll, you know, kind of get involved and raise some funds for it. So I, back in 2012, I set a goal for myself. I set a goal to raise $100. I went to Ben's place, hung out at his house with his wife and his kids and some friends, and we just gamed, and I gamed for 24 hours because it was a 24-hour gamathon in 2012, and I tried really hard to get people to donate. I said, oh, come on, it's to help kids. And people donated and donated. And the next thing you know, when everything was tallied up, I had raised $184 in 2012. So for 2013, I decided I wanted to amp things up a little bit. Now, you're probably wondering, what the heck is this Extra Life Gamerthon, and how does it help kids? So Extra Life is this charitable organization, and they run this annual 24-hour Gamerthon. Gamers from all over the place get involved. They raise funds, they participate in games, and 100% of the proceeds go to local children's hospitals that the fundraisers choose. So I happen to choose Boston Children's Hospital, and the money goes there for all sorts of different things. It allows kids who need medical care, whose families can't afford to pay for it, allows them to go and get the medical care they need. The families never see a bill. The kids get all the help that they need, no matter what it is, and it's funded 100% by the Extra Life organization. I have a young cousin. She was born with cystic fibrosis, and every year now I go and I walk in the local CF walk to help raise funds to find a cure for cystic fibrosis. My cousin goes to Children's Hospital. She goes there to get the care she needs for her CF. She goes whenever they have to clean her lungs out and all sorts of stuff. Her family's able to pay for this. She has the coverage. They don't have to worry about whether or not they can handle the bills. But there are many other kids I know who have CF, who have all sorts of diseases. Cancer, you name it, they have everything. And even if it's just sort of minor in comparison to that. But they go there to Children's Hospital and they get the care they need. But a lot of kids, their families can't afford to pay for it. Times are tough. They're tough here in New England, they're tough here in America, they're tough everywhere, all across the globe. Times are hard for people. And although people want to be able to afford certain things, you want to be able to put a roof over the head of your family, you want to be able to find clothes for them, you want to be able to pay for food, you want to be able to pay for the medical care your loved ones need, but you may not always be able to be in a position to do that. So I feel it's really important for an organization like Extra Life to exist and to help out these kids who need the care just to survive, to make it day by day. So for this year, for the year 2013, I said, well, if I can raise $184 when all I want to do is raise $100, I'm going to amp up my goal. So I decided, yeah, we'll do it. We'll raise the goal to $200. Let's see if I can get that. And on top of that, I wanted to do something special because every year, try to make it a little more interesting. I decided for 2013, I would host my own game day at my house, invite some friends over, we would play some games for a while, and then just kind of continue gaming on my own and with my wife for the, turned out 25 hours is what they did for this year to amp it up, to go ahead and do that and just see what we can do and have a lot of fun, get together with some people, and raise money for this fantastic organization. So I started fundraising and fundraising, and donations came in all over the place. They came from as far as Afghanistan, all the way to the States. People I never expected to make a donation gave. People were so supportive and helpful. They spread the word. They encouraged me. It just really did everything. Everyone embraced this. So whether you donated, whether you told a friend about it, whether you just gave me a pat on the back or liked a status on Facebook or something, I really appreciate that. So when all was said and done, and I know maybe I should put this at the end of the episode to kind of tease it out, but I want to spend time talking about the games and a little bit more about the Extra Life organization. So when all was said and done, I raised $375. So I doubled my goal from $100 to $200, and I doubled the amount that I raised, more than doubled actually, from $184 to $375. Ben also decided to amp things up for the people over at Troll in the Corner. As you know, I'm an editor over at Troll in the Corner, and we are a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Last year in 2012, Ben and I belonged to the Reddit team. This time, Ben decided to create Team Troll, a team for this fantastic organization comprised of Troll in the Corner members and people who just are fans of Troll in the Corner and our podcast and everything. We were a 7-person team, and we were able to, by the end of it, to collect 126 donations, and we raised $6,543 amongst us. So when you look at how much money we raised and you look at my individual standing, things are really cool because over 32,000 people participated as fundraisers. And out of the 32,000 people, I am number 1,938. That means I did better at fundraising than almost 2,000 people. So just think about that. There's over 32,000 people involved raising money. And then I think something like 80,000 people involved when you count the fundraisers and people playing games. And every penny counts. But here in New England, Team Troll, not just here, but all over the world where Team Troll is, we raised so much money, we did a world of good. So much, in fact, that Boston Children's Hospital was the second highest fundraiser, and I got this really awesome phone call from an individual over at Boston Children's Hospital. They were just wanted to say thank you, really, is what it was. So I have recorded the call, because they left it on my answer machine. I take that and I sent it electronically. So you'll hear their really nice phone call. You'll hear that at the end of the episode. Instead of a little blurb where like I mess up or something funny happens, you'll hear that at the end. Just where they say some really cool stuff about what's going on with Children's Hospital and what the money goes to. So that's how much money we raised. Now here's how it went. For 2012, Ben set up this live blog on the Troll in the Corner website. And he continued it for 2013 and I participate. He and I were live blogging all that we did for the 25 hours. We had photos of the games we played and we talked about them and just all sorts of stuff. And of course, we used social media. I used Facebook a lot. I know Ben used Facebook and he used G+ to just kind of share what we were doing. So over the course of the 25 hours, we played a lot of games. And Ben has a recap over at trollitc.com. You can head over there and see where he recaps what he had done. So I had started my day off playing some video games because I was really, really hungry, needed to eat some breakfast, and I had to start playing some games. So I played NHL 2012 on the Xbox 360, and throughout the whole Gamathon, I played a fair amount of Xbox. I played the Space Marines demo, Apples to Apples demo, I played a Major League Baseball game, and I also made a lot of use of electronic sources for gaming. I used the Where's the Water app by Disney for iOS devices. I used it on our Gen 1 iPad. I played a bunch of computer games too. I played Minecraft. I played SimCity, Civ 5. I played a web-based game called Record Shop, which is over at Kongregate. It's one of those tycoon strategy simulation kind of games. It's really cool, a lot of fun. And one of the things I like about being able to do that sort of stuff is, maybe you live in a space where it's hard for you to host having other people over, or maybe it's hard for you to get to somewhere else where a bunch of people are playing games, but you can use technology to either play solo games or to connect with people at a distance and play games with them. And it also allows you to play games in locations that you might normally be unable to, such as in bed or while you're at the dining table having a bite to eat. So I try to really make good use of these kind of things. And I played some cool stuff, really. I had never played the Space Marines game before, and I love it. I love it so much, I have to go buy it. I wasn't really sure what I was going to think about the Space Marines game for a few reasons. First of all, it's Games Workshop. You guys know how I feel about Games Workshop. You know that I've talked a lot about their business model over the many years, actually, that I've been podcasting. And I've said good things, I've said bad things, and just all sorts of things about them. And the other reason is that one of their earliest electronic games that I had played was the Fire Warrior game. I think it was for PS2 it came out. I was less than impressed with it. I was a huge Tau Empire fan when I played 40K. That just something about the game left me down. And another reason why I tend, just generally actually, to not play a lot of first-person shooters or third-person shooter games on, you know, any sort of video game console, is that I find, and this, it sounds weird and it's a little embarrassing, but I find that I get motion sick really easy. And so if I'm playing a game like that a lot and I'm moving around, and like if I'm playing Left 4 Dead or something and I'm constantly turning around and the thing, I get like car sick. So I get to take a break and then like eat something and just kind of collect myself. I don't like feeling like that. So I don't play a lot of first-person shooters or third-person shooters anymore, which is a shame because there's a lot of really good ones out there. And I used to love to play them. But Space Marines is different. Space Marines, I didn't get motion sick. It has a better storyline, fantastic graphics, and the demo is just so amazing. You really feel for the characters in there, and you get a sense for the world that everything takes place on. So although it was only a demo, I could tell I need this game. So it's great that it's on sale, and now that it's been out for a while, it's not as costly. NHL 2012, it's how I started off Extra Life Gamerthon 2012. I love hockey. You guys know I love hockey. You know I'm a huge Boston Bruins fan. So much so that there have been times in the past where I purposely did not record an episode of Wargaming Recon because I had to watch the game. Of course, I had to play NHL 2012. It's such a great game. And then Apples to Apples is a favorite of my wife's. But this is the first time playing it electronically. It was really neat to be able to see how they adapted it for single-player gaming, and you can even do multiplayer on there. As anyone who's played Apples to Apples will know, it's better with more people, and it's better with people who know you all, because the premise of the game is a card gets put down, and it'll have a word on it, some sort of descriptive thing, maybe funny. And then you have a bunch of cards in your hand, and you have to think what the person who put that card down, the dealer in essence, you could say, what the dealer will think is funny. So it doesn't mean that you need put a card down for something that really is the funniest. It's for what the person thinks is funny. So if you have a card that says worms, and you know the person thinks worms are funnier than like Bozo the Clown or whatever, you put worms down and then you win. You win that round. So that's something that works really well as a party game. And to see it translated onto a digital format was really interesting. And then of course the Boston Red Sox had won the World Series not long before I'm recording this, which is November 4th, 2013, and I had to play a little baseball. The game was not so great, so I was very disappointed in the baseball video game, but that's okay. Where's the Water? I've talked about that before. I don't want to get into that. And Minecraft, but SimCity and Civ 5, two of my favorite new games. And Civ 5, I've been playing for ages. I love the Civilization series. It's just so well done. Sid Meier really hit it out of the park with Civ 2, which for me is one of the best computer games of all time. Civ 5 really takes what Sid did with Civ 2 and builds on it. It adds better graphics. It adds a whole nother dimension of gameplay. It makes it just so fun. It's something that I love to play, and I highly recommend it. And the fact that you know, you can play it on OS X makes it so much better for me because I don't have access to Windows anymore. I do all my gaming on OS X. And speaking of OS X, the new SimCity. It's a game you can only play when you are connected to the interwebs. And now that they have it on OS X, I'm loving it. It's different in many ways from a lot of the other SimCity games. I got into SimCity playing SimCity 2000 and just kind of played, I think, every incarnation from then to now, except for like SimCity Societies, I think, is the only one I didn't really play. But I love what Will Wright has done. I love the whole SimCity kind of simulation setup, the way you can build a city and how it impacts everything and what impacts it is really intriguing to me. I'm someone who loves strategy games. I'm someone who loves simulation games. Not really in-depth simulation games because then I start to yawn and my eyes glaze over. But SimCity has that nice balance. I was worried that I wouldn't like it because you have to be connected to the net. And what if your internet goes down? What if, I don't know, there's a tornado or something while you're playing SimCity during a tornado? I don't know. But if you lose internet connectivity, if your Wi-Fi sucks or whatever, you can't play the game. And so that, it worried me. But the game is still so much fun. They've just done so much with it. And there's a lot of different options and capabilities in it. But you don't feel overwhelmed. It's very, very accessible. In addition to the electronic gaming I did, like I said, I had invited a few people over. I invited Adrian and Court and Adam. These are guys who I game with on a somewhat regular basis. And they're also the guys with whom I will be organizing and running a game at TotalCon, which will be February 2014. Head over to TotalCon.com for more info. But we were going to play something a little different because normally we get together and we play some sort of hysterical minis game. Black Powder, or Adam's been really wanting us to play Longstreet lately. Just haven't had time, or we've been demoing, but playtesting rather, what we're going to do at TotalCon. I said, guys, how about we do something different? That way we won't get burnt out because I don't know about you, but if I keep on playing the same thing over and over and over again, my eyes glaze over and I just don't want to deal with it anymore. And I don't want to get burnt out on playing one game forever. So I said, let's play a variety of games. And Adam brought over a cool game for us to try, and it is called U.S. Navy Plan Black. It's by Avalanche Press. It is a board game in the sense of it. I guess you could say it's a board game. It's a game that takes place in one of those like what if kind of wars. So it presumes that Germany won World War I, and Germany is sending some fleets into the Caribbean to challenge the United States. These fleets are there to raid commerce and maybe bomb some U.S. territorial possessions like San Juan and Miami. So one side, of course, is the Germans, and the other side is the U.S., and then it takes place in that wonderful age of dreadnoughts. Now, when we played, a game like this is something where my eyes, yes, they would glaze over because you see this map with these tiny, tiny chits, and you gotta check off these little checkboxes or damage here and there, and you get all these different options. And I mean, I'm boring myself now talking about it. And I know it's something that a lot of people like. A lot of people really do enjoy that detail for stuff. And it's not something that you normally gonna want to find me playing over and over and over again. It doesn't happen. But I'm willing to try just about anything at least once. And Adam really wanted to play this. So I thought, hey, why the heck not? And the other guys were up for it. We all seem to really enjoy naval games. Adrian a little more than the rest of us, I think. But this was made even more accessible because Adam agreed to be the GM. He ran it. He ran that game. So he was able to simplify some stuff for us. He was able to take over some of the record-keeping kind of side for us. Adrian played as the Germans, and Court and I were the American fleets. You can kind of divide things up however you want, and you start in different spots. The goal is you have to track down the opponent fleet. If you're the Germans, you get a bunch of decoy fleets. You just kind of have to go and see what happens and blow crap up. So it was a lot of fun to play that. And surprisingly enough, I really enjoyed it, and I play it again. There are other games in the series. There's War Plan Orange, I think, and War Plan Yellow, and they're different what-if kind of war naval games set in different time periods. So I would really, I would try it again. I would definitely play this and try one of the other ones. I think a key really is to have a GM and to try to simplify it as much as possible. That just makes it go by quicker. We were planning to play for about 4 hours, and the game took Actually, no, that's not right. We were planning to play... Yeah, we were playing 4 hours. I'm sorry. We were playing for 4 hours, and the game took a little over 3 hours. And that's actually less time than I thought it was going to take to play that. Because a game like that, I'm figuring it's going to take a whole session. But it didn't, which was great, because then we got to play Red Dragon Inn. And I'm a huge fan of Red Dragon Inn. This is one of those beer and pretzel kind of games that you play. It's great for four people. You can play with 2 to 4 players, but I highly recommend 4 players. There's 2 expansion games. Each game adds the ability to play with an additional 4 players. Now, the game is really cool because it presumes that you and the other players are a bunch of adventurers who went off on some sort of, I don't know, dungeoneering adventure. You need to collect some gold and kill some monsters or whatever. And then when you're done, like any good adventuring party, you end up back where you all met. The local tavern, the local inn, the local pub. So this game takes place in the pub. The game allows you to gamble with one another. It allows you to try to make other players as drunk as possible. And the ways you lose the game are these two. One, you can have your fortitude marker, which represents your physical, well, fortitude, and your alcohol level marker touch. And that means like you passed out and you're gone. Or you can run out of gold. That comes about by gambling, and then kaput, you're out. The game, although it's a board game, each player has a deck of cards that represents a character. There's Zot the Magician and Pookie, his magical bunny, and there's a warrior, female warrior, there's a female priestess, and then there's a male kind of thief who's really good at gambling. We each had different decks, and we played. It's just one of those kind of fun, laid-back, easy-going kind of games where just about anything can happen. And if you get really into it, you're going to find that you will have even more fun. There's one guy a bunch of us know who likes to play this, and he likes to play as Zot, and he gets really into Zot. He starts acting like him, and he just embodies the character. And when someone does that, I find that the fun level just continues to grow, which is really important for an event like this where you're going to be gaming all day long. Well, eventually they had to go. And my wife and I, we had some dinner. I played a little more Where's the Water while we were eating. And then my wife, who is not a gamer, who doesn't really like to play just about anything, her ideal form of gaming with me is playing Mario Kart for the Wii. We both have strong, fond memories of Mario Kart, and she loves to play it, and I love to play games, so we will play that. But this time around, she surprised me and agreed to play some board games. So we played Pandemic, which is a great game that I love. I can't remember how often I've talked about it on here, but if you've never played it, you have to. It's a fantastic game because it is a cooperative game. You play with the other players, not against them. You're trying to cooperatively beat the game. You are playing as people who work for the World Health Organization and the CDC, and you are based out of Atlanta where the CDC is based, and there are all these different diseases running rampant across the globe, and you have to find cures for them all in order to win. This game also has an expansion, which we did not use because it makes it harder. So we played, and we started to do well, and then all the diseases just kicked our butt. Fantastic game. I highly recommend it. We played Guillotine, which is a card game. It takes place in the French Revolution. And what you do is you have an actual card guillotine that goes on one side and it's made out of thin card. And you lay out 12 nobles or noble cards. They can be clergy, they can be military, they can be actual nobles, they can be people who aren't nobles who are in there, like a martyr or whatever, people who got in there by mistake. And you collect these nobles by whichever one's closest to the guillotine. They get axed and you get that card. And then you count up your points. Points are listed on each of the cards for the nobles. You count up your points at the end of the game. You have action cards in your hand that you can play. They will alter the arrangement of cards in that line heading towards the guillotine. Or they may do other stuff like give you bonuses for every red card you get or negatives for every gray or whatever. So then you add up your points and whoever has the most number of points wins. So although we both lost at Pandemic, I won at Guillotine. And then we were going to try another game that we had tried before and just didn't really have a whole lot of luck. A game I think you need more than 2 people total playing. And that is, we didn't play test this at all. It's one of those crazy games. The goal of the game is to have fun. In fact, the goal of the game is to win. And as the game says, in order to win, you must not lose because losing is not winning. and has a reminder that it is mandatory to have fun. The game's really straightforward. It's card-based. You have cards in your hand. You play the cards, and you do exactly what the card says. It may not make any sense. It may not be completely applicable, but you do what that card says. It's one of those games, I think, that is better if you have more people. It says it can accommodate 2 to 10 players, and there are other add-ons, expansion decks that you can get and mix them all together. It's also a game where I think it makes a little more sense if you've been drinking. And I feel that about Red Dragon Inn. Red Dragon Inn's great if you're sober, but if you've had a few adult beverages, it's one of those that it's a little more fun. It's exactly the same with We Didn't Play Test This at All. Then we played Zombie Dice. This is a game that I've mentioned numerous years on the holiday gift guide as a must-buy. Cuts $13.13, I believe, unless Steve Jackson has changed the price on this. So we played that, but also I bought the expansion pack. And the expansion pack is really a 3-in-1 expansion pack. One's like a summer movie blockbuster, and you get special colored dice where they have multiple icons on them. Another one is Santa Claus meets zombies, and Santa does fancy things for you depending on what way his dice comes up. And then there's a third expansion pack that combines the first two special things, and you get the Santa dice and the two other dice, and you roll and do all sorts of stuff. The goal with all the X-Packs is the same as the main game. You are a zombie. You need to collect 13 brains, and if you do, you win. Straightforward, lot of fun. Can't recommend it enough. If you want more in-depth information about it, you got to head over to Steve Jackson Games, or just listen to any of the holiday gift guide episodes of Wargaming Recon, because I talk about it a lot. So much so, in fact, that it's like, whenever someone's like, oh, there's this cool game that I just discovered. It's called Zombie Dice. Or have you heard of Zombie Dice? I instantly think, holiday gift guide. Did you listen? Because I love that game and I talk about it on there and it's always on my list. Speaking of holiday gift guide, I want to let you know about our upcoming schedule. So first, let me just thank everyone again, because I really am appreciative for everyone who's been supportive, who's donated, and just who's been there for the Extra Life 25-Hour Gamerthon for Boston Children's Hospital for 2013. I'm looking forward to doing it again next year for 2014, and we'll see what happens then. But I'm completely blown away by everyone's generosity and by everyone's support. It really means the world to me. But that schedule, so we are getting closer and closer to the end of the year for 2013, and that means a few things. I've been doing pretty regularly every year a holiday gift guide episode. I know that if you're listening to this, you are either a gamer, or a New England gamer, or a historical gamer, or you're someone who is special to one of those individuals, and that it's not always easy to buy for gamers, because as we get into the holidays, it tends to be a strong gift-giving season for people. Doesn't matter what religion you are or no religion, people celebrate all sorts of things. They celebrate Christmaka and Kwanzaa and Christmas and Hanukkah and Festivus and whatever. So it's hard to buy gifts for people. I know that. I'm a gamer and my family is not, and they have a hard time buying for me. So I like to create this holiday gift guide to be able to give my ideas, so that if you're a non-gamer, you have an idea what to give the gamer in your life. Or if you're a gamer, you can say, hey, so-and-so, you should check this out, and maybe there's an idea for you. This year, doing something really cool, I have a special guest, Ben Gerber, will be joining me, and we're going to be talking about gifts to give. He and I did a really cool episode of my other show, Geeks Explicitly, for Valentine's, I think it was, where we talked about Valentine geeky gifts that you could give to the male geek in your life. It went so well, and I was like, Ben, do you want to be on the show, and we can do this again, but for the holidays? And he said, yeah. So the holiday gift guide episode for 2014 is episode 104. It releases on November 25th, 2013. Then episode 105, which will release on December 9th, 2013, is another very special episode. And I feel like I say that about every episode, but every episode is very special. It's very special to me, and I think they're special to you too. This has 2 fantastic guests coming on the 105th episode. So the 105th episode is titled, tentatively at least, but I think definitively it'll end up with this. It's titled War Games Holiday Center. John and Diane Sutherland will be the special guests. We're going to talk about the Wargaming Holiday Center in Crete. Plus, John has a brand new book out that he's co-written with a few other people, which is published by Wargames Illustrated, which is owned by Battlefront Miniatures, the makers of Flames of War. The new book is called Mega Wargames. If you're familiar with Warhammer 40K Apocalypse, think that, but for historical gaming. And it makes perfect sense to talk about Mega Wargames and the Wargames Holiday Center at the same time because, yes, they're connected to these two individuals, John and Diane, who are fantastic people. But at the Wargames Holiday Center, they run Mega Wargames. Makes perfect sense. And they have a whole array of cool stuff that they're going to be doing for the 2014 season at the Wargames Holiday Center. We'll be able to chat about all that. And maybe, just maybe, some of you guys and gals and listeners will say, hey, maybe that's the time I really should just head over for a nice vacation in Crete and play some cool war games. Or at the very least, maybe just check out the book Mega War Games. So don't forget, episode 105, War Games Holiday Center, will release December 9th, 2013. And that means that it will be the last episode of Wargaming Recon for the year 2013. In 2012, I took a break for most of December and part of January, and I really like that because I love the holiday season. I love Christmas, and my birthday is at the end of December, so I just take that as time, like me time, really, to just kind of chill and relax and maybe play some games and get through the really coldness of a good chunk of winter, and I come back refreshed with more new content coming for everyone. So the show, Wargaming Recon, will be on break. It'll be on hiatus from December 16th, 2013, and it will return with episode 106 on January 20th, 2014. Don't worry. I know it's a ways off. I'll have more info in upcoming episodes. I'll tag that in. I'll have it on Facebook. I'll have it on the G+ and on the Twitter and on our blog, wargamingforums.com. It'll be everywhere. Don't worry. You're not going to miss it. Because I just promote the crap out of everything is what it is. But that'll be out there. I try to get that out because you're used to me releasing episodes on that frequent every other Monday kind of basis. And I would hate for someone to be listening to an episode and think, oh, this is really cool and I'm caught up. But wait, why are there no episodes? I don't know what's going on. Did the show die or what happened to John? Or why isn't he releasing anything from December 16, 2013 until January 20th, 2014? Now you know, I'm taking a break, just kind of chilling, and just all that kind of stuff. But don't worry, because good things are going to be coming in 2014. I can tell you a little bit about some upcoming guests. So you know that 2013 has Ben Gerber coming back, because we're going to talk about the Holiday Gift Guide, and John and Diane Sutherland will be on episode 105 to talk about their War Games Holiday Center and John's new book, Mega War Games. But I got other guests lined up. So in 2014, you will have the pleasure of listening to Mr. Dean Emerson. Dean is an organizer for the Historical Wargaming Convention, Huzzah, in Portland, Maine. I love Huzzah. It's so cool. It is my favorite historical gaming convention in New England. I try to get there whenever I can, and I've missed, let's see, the first year I missed, and I missed 2013 because I wasn't able to get there. So I've gone the other times and I love it up there. Portland's a great city and the convention's fantastic. The people who run it are amazing. The people who go and play are amazing. It's so much fun. So Dean is one of the organizers and he does all sorts of stuff. And we've been trying to get together and get him on the show for longer than I care to admit because I'm too embarrassed by that. But the good news is he's going to be on. We're going to be talking about his gaming. We're going to be talking about the MHWA, which is the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They are the group that puts on Huzzah. We'll be talking about Huzzah and just doing all of that kind of stuff. So that'll be coming in 2014 before Huzzah, of course, because Huzzah is in May of 2014. Then going to have a repeat guest, really is what it is. Going to have Mr. Stephen McLaughlin coming on. Now, he was on when the show was named something else, and he didn't actually get to talk to me. He got to talk to a former co-host. So this will be my first time speaking with Steven for the show. It's also really cool because when he was on before, He was on as owner and one of the co-hosts of WWPD, News from the Front, What Would Patton Do? And now he's no longer with them because he has a snazzy new job. He is the digital content manager for Battlefront. Yeah, the people who make Flames of War. So we're going to talk about Flames of War. We'll talk about Battlefront. We're going to just talk about all sorts of stuff. I am in awe of Steven because he's done fantastic things with WWPD and now with Battlefront. And he's just such a nice guy. I've gotten to know him a little bit online through social media and different things. And everything I see, I like. He's a stand-up guy. So I am really excited about that. Then, of course, we'll have another repeat guest. You guys probably know that whenever I have a guest on, and if you respond really well to them, or if I just feel a connection, I have them on as many times as they're willing to come on. And I try to spread it out so that way it's not just one person over and over again. Because if that's what you wanted, well, you got me, because every episode you hear me talk. And I like to mix it up with a guest every now and again. So I try to space those things out so it's not like episode where it's same guest. But sometimes people are just so awesome, you gotta have them on whenever possible. I will be having Angela Parento on again, yes, in 2014. She's the promotional director for New England's largest game convention. I'm talking, of course, about TotalCon in Mansfield, Massachusetts. TotalCon takes place in February of every year, so it'll be February 2014. She'll be coming on, and we'll be talking about TotalCon and just all sorts of cool gaming stuff. I always have a blast talking with Angela. She's an incredible person. It's so much fun to chat with her and to get to see her and her husband, Steven over at TotalCon. Just, it's a blast. So I'm really looking forward to that. But don't worry, these are not the only guests for 2014. There will be a variety of new guests and previous friends who will join us for the 2014 recording year. We'll have a lot more stuff to cover in 2014, and I'm not going to talk about all of it now because it's still 2013. I'll do the usual, hey, it's January 2014 or January, you know, whatever the new year is, and let's talk about what happened last year and make some plans for the next year like I've been doing for the past few years, because I really enjoy that and I think people like it as well. And I'll use that time to talk about some other stuff that'll be coming up in 2014. But I just want to kind of get this stuff on your radar so that you know that cool things are coming. There'll be more things going on. Chances for me to fundraise for charitable causes, for you to help out with that if you're interested. Conventions I'll go to and things I'll review and guests who'll come on and speak with you. And I didn't really intend for that to rhyme. But it's going to be so much fun. So once again, I just want to thank everyone for taking the time to listen to this episode and people for all their support with the 25-hour Extra Life Game-a-thon for Boston Children's Hospital. I know $375 may not seem like a lot, but it sure is to me. And I know that every bit counts. So I am incredibly appreciative of that. Don't forget, we got some cool episodes coming up. There will be only two more new episodes for 2013. The Holiday Gift Guide releases on November 25th, 2013 with Ben Gerber. And then December 9th, 2013, we'll see episode 105, War Games Holiday Center with John and Diane Sutherland. So I'm looking forward to that. And then the break from December 16th until January 20th, 2014. And then a lot of new guests and fun stuff happening. Don't forget, every month we have our new fantastic e-newsletter we put out. And then, of course, we've gotten a great response to the 100th episode, because when you hit 100 episodes, it's a special thing. And I use that time to give back, to just say thank you to all of you. So episode 100 Wargaming Tips has over 500 downloads on, over 500. I think actually the real total numbers are over like 700 so far. So just keep on sharing that and spreading the word, and just, you know, I'm thankful. Just thank you guys. Thank you everyone is really what this is all about. So you know the drill. You know that every time there will be a new episode of Wargaming Recon with content that I hope you'll love and you'll appreciate and you'll share with all your friends. But most importantly, no matter what, you need to, you have to, you gotta keep on gaming.
Hi there, this message is for Jonathan. Jonathan, this is Jen from Boston Children's Hospital. We're calling all our top Extra Life gamers to say thank you. You have done a tremendous job. I see already you raised over $340,000 for the hospital's areas of greatest need in care, research, and community health programs. And so we're calling our top gamers just to say thank you. It's an amazing effort raising a lot of money for the much-needed programs here at the hospital and for our kids. If you have any questions about where the money's going or any suggestions on how we can improve the Extra Life program moving forward, we are always open to that. Also want to let you know we're on the cusp of what will hopefully be a challenge that will win $60,000 for Boston Children's Hospital and the Diablo Challenge that you've probably heard about in our Extra Life communication. So thank you for helping us. So close to that goal, and we're really striving for it. So if you have any suggestions, if you have any feedback or any questions, please don't hesitate to contact us. And thank you so much for your help. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
If you heard it and you do like it, good. If you don't like it, what I'm supposed to do.